Then, as we're going through this series on spiritual gifts, it's not just about us attaining more knowledge. I mean, that's good, but we don't want to be fat Christians, you know? We don't want people to just eat all this knowledge all the time and not do anything. But the significance of the gifts of the Spirit are for the work of service to really lift up and build the body of Christ. And so what we're going to do is we have a few more talks on the spiritual gifts, particularly the love gifts. And afterwards, we're going to compile basically a one page, and we want everyone to do it. We're going to do it during Sunday, and we're just going to list the gifts. And if you think you have a gift, this gift, or you're attracted to a certain gift, we'll have a list of ministries underneath and just start, you know, checking. And then the ministry leaders will contact you because the gifts are not for us. The gifts are for the body. And so we're going to make sure that we try to administrate this as best as we can. And so that every person, this is, you know, one of our values, SP, is servanthood. And so with that idea, every person a minister and every minister a servant. And so turn to your neighbor, go ahead and say, your other neighbor, say, hey, good looking. He says, you should be a servant, okay? And so we're going to give you opportunities in this house to serve. Now, one of the requirements that we have is a class called Growing in Christ. And it's our introductory class, and it's a really simple class. And even if you've been a seasoned Christian, this class will be a great blessing for you. And it's just so that we can get to know you. It's really not for us to vet you. It's for you to vet us. You know, because you're not just a box of gifts and abilities. You're a whole living person, and there's something that you have to offer, and there's something that we have to offer you as well. And so we don't want to just use you. We want to get to know you first, and for us to get to know you as well. And then there's a convergence of those things together with your gifts and abilities and skills, and we'll try to find a ministry that you can serve in and that you can really bless the Lord and the body in. Okay? Now, before we get into the message, I just want to quickly talk about breaking a fast. And, you know, I do this every year, but we have so many new people come through here. And I think it's really important, and I'll say this, it's probably going to take you more discipline to break the fast than actually to fast. Because now, like, the buffet is open to you. You know what I mean? Okay, I know some of your minds are going there right now. Don't go there yet. We have a few more days. But literally, the buffet, the Shangri-La buffet is before you. And so now you got to figure out. And so just make it a very simple of how to break a fast. And really, the art of breaking a fast lies in bringing the body back to its accustomed strength and capacities, particularly your digestive organs. And so you have to remember, during the fast, your stomach has shrunk quite a bit, and it'll take a lot less food for you to get to that place. And so you want to just take your time. This is a key. Take your time. If you've been doing a water fast, and I've been actually really surprised this year, so many people have been doing the 21-day water fast. Even some people that never fasted in their life, you know, and they're doing really well and really strong. And so, I mean, you know, praise God for that. Especially for you, the general rule of thumb is however many days you fasted water is how many days it's going to take for you to slowly come back to normal eating functions. So, again, a lot of discipline. You first want to start off by eating fruit. And then milk, maybe in usually the form of yogurt at first, taken with the fruit, and then salads, probably, you know, with very no dressing, even though that's really gross. So a little bit of dressing is okay. I tried that. Have you ever had salad without dressing? Oh my gosh, what the heck? Am I a rabbit or what, you know? sorry. Let me continue on. You know, and then homemade vegetable soups, preferably some that don't have that much fat in it, and then cooked vegetables should be next. But make sure that you build slowly up to this. A little crisp bread or toasted whole meal. Bread with a little bit of butter, maybe eaten with the meals. Probably no cakes, no pastries, no cookies. Go, you know, steady on the starchy food. Protein is probably best introduced a little bit later on in the form of cheese, eggs, or nuts, and then fish, and then meat, the last of all. And so, and just how quickly you increase your diet and variety and quantity depends on the length of your fast, on how your body succeeds in coping. And you have to be really, really careful. If you go really fast, you may not feel it right away. You'll feel it later on. Trust me, I'm a student of this, and I've done this many times. You know, discomfort following a meal should be regarded as a signal to ease up at this time. And if necessary, maybe even possibly miss the next meal. Again, this is where the self-discipline is needed. And so I just have five simple steps or simple rules. One, watch your quantities. Remember, your stomach is shrunk, so take it easy. Two, eat slowly and masticate well, which just means chew well. Chew your food really well. The more you chew your food, the less work your stomach has to do in breaking it down, okay? Number three, stop at the first warning sign. Four, rest as much as possible. And five, don't try to do too much too soon. This is a great time to adjust our diets and eat healthy. And of course, we continue to press in and see how God will really use us during this fast. And just kind of keep that in mind, okay? And if you have any questions, and you can come talk to me or any one of our staff, and they'll kind of let you know. And, you know, we try to do our best during this time. Okay, now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read verse 28. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. I want to focus on that one little word in the middle there, administrations. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. Lord, we thank you for our worship team and God, just the skill and the ability that you've given them, God, to lead us in worship. Lord, even though we're not teaching on it right now, God, we definitely believe that they have a gift of worship, Lord, that there is something on them, God, and we're so blessed as a congregation that we can bask and receive under that gift, Lord. And so we bless you for that, God. Lord, we thank you for drawing us together here. We thank you for strengthening us, God, in the midst of our fast and speaking to us, Lord, so clearly. And we pray that you would continue to speak to us, Lord. And so right now we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach a prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. God, we thank you. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. 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 So today, I want to talk about the gift of administrations. Notice it's plural, but also I want to change the definition, and I want to say it's actually the gift of governments, because that's actually the word that's used. And so, you talk to the left and right, just say this to yourself, say, hey, good looking. The gift of governments, okay? Encourage yourself right now. The gift of governments. Now, this word, administrations, is actually used only one time in the whole New Testament. And it's the Greek word, and it's actually better translated as governments. This actually the literal translation. There actually is no other translation. It's the word is actually governments, or it's also translated as wise counsel. It's a kind of a subordinate definition of this. This word was actually used in classic Greek literature in the times of the New Testament, and it had to do with the idea of guiding of affairs. And so you can see kind of the governmental idea of what we typically think of government, but it's not quite what we think in that way. This is one of the leadership gifts that was made available in the New Testament church. Now, this is not the same as the gift of leadership. that we'll actually be talking about next week. It's a little different than that. The gift of leadership, the spiritual gift, actually the primary, I would say, component of that deals with the issue of inspiration. And so there's something about the gift of leadership that helps to inspire people. And so it's a flowing that happens. It's an influence, which is really what leadership means. God-given influence that happens, and when a person is operating a gift of leadership, inspiration is happening, and people are compelled in that way. That's why we know the governments or the administrations is a little bit different than that. This is a support gift that really works best when someone has a leadership gift. When someone has that gift of leadership where there's a lot of inspiration and things happening, if you have a leadership gift, and we're gonna talk about it next week. In fact, we should have actually done that first today and then done this next week, but it's okay. This is an upside-down kingdom, all right? So the idea is if you have a leadership gift, the best thing you could ever do in your leadership is find someone with the gift of governments to stand right next to you. Seriously. And if you have a gift of governments gift, the best thing you can do is find a person who has a gift of leadership. Because those two things come together and they create a dynamic punch. I mean, it is the 1-2 of spirituality in terms of leadership. And so it'd be really important. And so remember, I literally want you to think in this way. If we go through this and you realize, you know what, I might have that gift of governments, and then I want you to seriously start looking for people that have the gift of leadership and just step right alongside of them, because 2 in that case is greater than 10. I mean, it just goes far beyond numerical numbers in that way. Okay, so let's go through our pattern. This is the definition. The gift of governments involves a capacity to manage details of service functions as to support and free other leaders to prioritize their efforts. The gift of governments involves a capacity to manage details of service functions as to support and free other leaders to prioritize their efforts. I'll give you C. Peter Wagner, my professor, his definition. The gift of governments is a special ability God gives to some members of the body of Christ to understand clearly the immediate and long-range goals of a particular unit of the body of Christ and to devise and execute effective plans for the accomplishment of those goals. In this case, I actually like Wagner's definition better than mine. Mine sounds more like a secretary, even though that's not what it means at all. I think I need to change mine actually now that I read this again. So let's go back to this. So governments, this word, it only appears one time, is kybernesis. Actually, this word, it comes from the root word kuberneo. Actually, it has a Latin origin, and it means to steer. And so just keep that in your mind, because this actually analogy is really well. The nautical word for a ship's captain is this word. And so, you know, the idea of steering, we're talking about steering a boat or a ship. And so the nautical term that people have used is this word for meaning a ship's captain. So think about how this works. The captain is the person in charge of getting the ship to its destination. The captain stands between the owner of the ship and the crew. Okay? So think of this. The owner of the ship is the person that has a leadership gift. The captain is the person who has the gift of governments. And the crew is all the other workers, all the other people that are out there. And so the owner of the ship basically makes the strategic decisions, the basic decision about the purpose of this trip and where we're going. What is the destination? So that's what the owner, in other words, leadership gift, gets a vision from God, as this grand vision, lays it out. And what generally happens is the vision is casted, and then the gift of governments, the captain of the ship, grasps the vision from the owner understands the purpose. This is, okay, this is why we're doing this, and this is where we're going, and then organizes and uses their gift of governments, organizes the gifts, knows the strategies, and basically gets the whole crew to move in one direction. That's why these things go hand in hand. again, let me say this again. The owner of the ship makes the basic decisions about the purpose of the voyage, where it is going, and what is going to happen when it gets there. The owner recruits the captain and the crew. The captain steers the crew to get to the destination. This is really a great example of how the gift of governments works, especially with the gift of leadership. Most people would think that the captain is the leader. It's not. The captain is managing the crew. I mean, obviously, the gift of leadership is doing a certain extent of that, but it's really the governments that comes alongside to really bring about kind of, if you could say it that way, if the owner gets a vision, what the gift of governments, what the captain does, he puts feet to the vision, and it gets to the destination. It's really important that these things come together. So, I have six, okay, real quick. Six signs that you may have the gift of governments. And so again, you know, remember what we did this last week? So think, okay, does that sound like me? If it doesn't sound like you, does it sound like a friend of mine? And if you know a friend, then you need to call them after a sermon and say, hey, yeah, you have the gift of governments. Listen to this sermon. This is going to help you, okay? So here we go. Number one, signs that you may have the gift of governments. Number one, you have a knack for organizing things. You have a knack for organizing things. You're one of six best friends, and one of your friends is having a big birthday party. You know, they're celebrating their 30th birthday party or something like that. And out of all your six friends, guess who's organizing it? You. You probably have the gift of governments. There's probably going on there. Everyone's looking to you to organize things. Number two, you like to standardize methods for doing things. You don't just go in and, you know, they say, well, this is how we do it, and you do X, Y, Z. You actually go in, and the way your gift works, you're like a computer. You figure out, and it says, there's a better way that this could be done. And then you standardize these methods to get there. This is powerful. This is the gift of governments. This is how organizations run well in that way. Number three, you think in terms of helping people reach their goals. You're an advocate for them. You want to see other people reach their goals, and you want to help them in their process. And if you have that heart and desire, you probably have a gift of governments. There's that administrative gift on you. Number four, you have a concern for the good of the whole group when you're in charge of the group. This is part of the leadership cluster. So this is a leadership gift too, but not the leadership gift. And so you have a concern for the good of the whole group when you're in charge of the group. Number five, you like to do things that help other people. You just like to come alongside. You like to do things that help other people. And number six, you don't mind managing things or carrying out the details involved in some plan that has been made by others. You don't mind managing things or carrying out the details involved in some plan that has been made by others. These are six, there's many more, but six signs that you may have the gift of governments. And the church needs a lot of people like this. It's so important. Okay? All right, second part, examples in the Bible. Examples in the Bible. So let me give you one clear example. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. I'll read this. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And so we see in this passage, and by the way, this was one aspect of the way Luke is describing how the church comes into his maturity, but also describing the way the enemy has infiltrated the church. And we see that one of the themes in the book of Acts, we see that what happens is the enemy attacks the church from outside and then attacks the church from the inside. And then attacks the church from the outside and then attacks the church from the inside. So, for example, Peter and John get arrested by the Sanhedrin, the outside, and they get thrown into prison. And the next thing you know, we have Ananias and Sapphira trying to disrupt the church from the inside. And the next verse, those guys get arrested, or next chapter, they get arrested again. And then the next passage, we see this, that they're having a fight inside the church. And so think of all the spiritual warfare is not just outside the church. A lot of times it's happening within. And in fact, I mean, this has nothing to do with the message, but if you ever study revival history, you'll find that almost every single revival actually imploded on its own from the inside, either through sexual immorality or financial mismanagement or something to that effect. In other words, it wasn't outside forces that disrupted the move of God. It was actually from within the movement itself. And so we need to be really aware of this. And so we see this dissension that happens within the church at this time. And so the Hellenistic, so the Greek Jews, usually meaning some either very much integrated into Greek society or they were half. You know, half Greek, half Jews in that way. And then they were being tossed aside for the more pure Jews in that way. And so, and they were getting food. And so a big fight began to erupt in the church in the midst of revival. I mean, can you imagine that? And so, and when this happens, they decide, that the leaders decide that the details of operating the church would actually, that they would raise up these seven men to be able to do these things. And this freed the apostles to prioritize their time and to use it for teaching and prayer, which was their main task at the time. And it was very important for them to do this. Now, these positions of service were obviously considered to have a great spiritual importance because of the high spiritual standards that were placed on those that were in this role. And so I want you to know these were not like subordinate roles, because I think we have that kind of idea in the church. You know, we have pastors and ministry leaders, and then we have admin people. And in a lot of churches, they're like second class citizens. Sorry, Monica, right? You know, and but that's not true, because these guys that had the gift of governments as they stepped into this role of supporting the apostles, these guys were men of high reputation. I mean, these guys were the cream of the crop, and they were really smart. All of them were also half Jews and half Greeks. And so these guys were really, the apostles were really thinking when they brought these guys up there. And so they were incredible men of God. And in fact, later on, you'll see Philip as he goes in, and he starts doing miracles. I mean, he's like being transported, you know, from point A to point B. I mean, really incredible things are happening. And so this is not a B-roll. And so I don't want us to get into this idea that there's leaders up here and there's everyone else that serves. No, we're all servant leaders. We're all operating the same thing. They're all of equal importance, and all these aspects, all these gifts, all the different parts of the body are all important to bring about the very purposes that God wants to do within the local body, within that context. And so again, it wasn't a B-roll, but one of great importance in the early church and one of great importance in the modern church. And we see this operating. These guys had this gift that they could administer, and so they had to figure out a good system, because what they were doing on those days was not working, because the food distribution was off, and so only some were getting it and some were not getting it. And so they had to come in, and remember the list we gave, they had to standardize this methodology of feeding people that was fair and equal. And so, and that's what these guys did. And you can see how the gift was operating. But the beauty of it is it freed up the apostles to continue to inspire, continue to pray, and do what they need to do. So an incredible, valuable gift in church, but also in organizations. I'll talk about that in a moment. So, personal example, okay? I don't have one of my own personal example. I always try to do a personal, but I am administrative. I can do it, but I'm not gifted at it. And so a lot of things will fall through the cracks. Some of you guys know I used to be an accountant. And so my mind works very, very logically. And so I would like to think that it's quite orderly, it's quite systematic, and that's part of my training, it's part of who I am. I'm also very neat. And if you've ever come into my office or come to my home, everything in its place, it's clean, it's neat, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's a gift of governments, okay? And so that's not me, but I would say this, many years ago, there was this young lady that came to Hong Kong, and she was from Sydney, Australia. And I had known her because I had spoken at her church many, many times before. And she was coming to Hong Kong. She just needed to get out of Sydney. She came here on a working holiday. Australia, Hong Kong signed this economic treaty, and they're going to do this working holiday. And so she came, and her old, and it was easy for her to come here because her older sister actually was a member of our church here. And so, you know it's Monica, right? If you guys haven't figured out yet. I wanted to, like, just ramp it up. Suspense, you know? It didn't work. I should have left out the older sister part. So she's on a working holiday, and so she needs to work. And so I said, there's regulations to how much you can work and all those things. So I said, hey, you need a job. You're here for your working holiday. I think it's a one-year visa. Why don't you come and why don't you intern at SP? And I tell you, at this time, so many people were telling me, Pastor Sam, you have to hire an administrator. And because it was basically me, Pastor Nate, Pastor Kenny. That was it, right? Oh, Pastor Sam. And Pastor Sophia. Yeah. Five pastors running a church. No. Not a good idea, right? I mean, so we're good at certain things, but there's other aspects. And of course, we put together some processes and things like that. But you know, we're pastors. That's what we do. And so she said, yes, great. I'll come on board and I'll do this. And it's crazy. The next thing I know, because Monica's major gift is the gift of governments, amongst many, many other, Monica. But this was the gift of governments. And man, she started bringing about order to everything that was happening in church and in the office. It was crazy. Our processes, our sign-ups, everything was made better. Particularly in church and in office, our retreats. Man, our retreats back in the days would be the scramble. You know what I mean? Like the staff would just sweat it out for a while and try to figure out all these things. And she standardized all the processes for signing up for retreats. I mean, it's not an easy job. You know what I mean? To get 500, you know, 600 people every year to a foreign country to have a retreat together. And so, but it just runs so smoothly because the processes and all these things have been standardized and methods and, you know, kind of everything flows. That's the gift of governments. That's how these things work. Our office was basically run by pastors, and it was okay. I mean, it was very spiritual, but probably a little dysfunctional in terms of operation. And Monica was able to come in and just really, if anything, really put a lot of order to a lot of things that we're doing. And I would say that whatever we're doing made it a lot better and made it smoother and made it easier for people to understand and people to sign up and, you know, all these different things that happen. A huge blessing. And, you know, even before that, I never really saw a need for an administrator in the church because I always went to churches that the whole staff was pastors.
And there was just one secretary, and her job was basically to answer the phone. That was pretty much it. And so I didn't never grew up in that model. And then you realize, no, you know, someone with this gift comes in, and it changes everything. I mean, it's amazing. And now we have Ashley, who also operates in that gift, that can really help us. And I mean, it's a huge, huge blessing. And so, Monica, thank you so much. Actually, we should all thank her. It's a real, real blessing. And I want you to know it's made your life much easier. My life is the same, okay? But it's made your life much, much easier when someone is operating out of this gift. Now, let me give you a secular example, all right? My pastor, he used to be an engineer, and you know, way back in the days. And so he has a friend who's also an engineer, and he went into this new company, and he went in, and he also has the gift of governments. He's able to come into an organization and just kind of have a bird's eye view and see the different processes and see what's going on. And in the first year when he entered this new job, He was looking at their supply chain, you know, thingamajig, whatever, and as he was going through, he began to realize that there were too many parts and all these things. And within a year, he standardized this whole process of ordering parts in the supply chain, and he had saved the company over $10 million. Simply by just overseeing and using his spiritual gift to really bring about some order. His CEO called him up and said, "What did you do?" And he said, "Well, I just went in, and this seemed like we could get rid of these parts and do this thing." And obviously, he got a huge raise that year and incredible favor at his company as a result. And he's constantly been doing these type of things. And so I would say that a lot of these gifts are not just for the church. And I think a lot of these gifts are meant for us to take that and take it into the marketplace and really use. You know, it's not like we're just going to, just on Sunday and on Wednesday night at house church, that's the only time we're going to prophesy over each other. Okay, and so prophecy is just limited. You know, telling people what God thinks about them is just limited just to Sunday service and house church. Of course, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous for us to think that. It's meant for all the time. So many people need to hear that God speaks. In that same way, the gift of governments and a lot of these spiritual gifts can also be very much translated into the marketplace. And like I said, this is my pastor's friend who was able to do this. Just go in and just simply using the gift that God had given to them, just begin to see organizationally how it works, and just it's like a computer. God, and they just okay, you know, and they standardize, and it just makes everything work so much better, and you could use this in the marketplace as well. In fact, I probably assume that some of you are already doing this, and you didn't even know it was a spiritual gift. You didn't know this is something that God, the Father of Light, came down and gave you this precious gift to do this. I mean, it's pretty cool of how this works out, and it's pretty important. So the last part here: why should you want this gift, right? So why should you want this gift of governments? Really simple. If you just simply want your life, your home, obviously your church, to run better. Let's talk about the church for a moment. You know, we know that the church is the hope for the world. And so we need to be a tight body that's running on all cylinders, that the fullness of the body of Christ and all the gifts are working so that we can be the hope of the world and the fullness of what God has in store for us. And so it's important that this gift of governments comes in to make sure that we're all running on full capacity, that we're doing exactly what we sense that God doing, functioning in high capacity. And so, and we need people to operate in this gift. You think about your family and raising children, and if you want God to just download and just give you a process in a certain way for, and it's not just for the sake of greater efficiency, but it'll make you more efficient. You know, and then in the marketplace, and you see how this gift comes, and you can be a blessing to your leaders, your CEO or your managing director or whoever it may be, and you can come alongside, just like Monica has come alongside of me and other pastors, that you can come alongside with this gift to your leader in the marketplace. And can you imagine what an incredible blessing you're going to be? I'm not even talking about raises and all that other, you know, stuff on the side, but what an incredible blessing you'll be to your leader and also to the organization at hand. And so so if you have a desire or a heart just to see things run better, just to see the church and your family and your life become more efficient, you should ask God for this gift. It is to come down and really bring about just a real blessing in the way. And particularly, you should want this gift if you want to help the body of Christ become the best and the healthiest that it can be. You should want this gift if you want to be a blessing to your leadership, either at church or at your school, you know, or at your business or wherever you're at. You want to be a blessing to them. Man, what an incredible blessing if God brought this gift down to you, and then you operate in this gift and really helped and blessed your leaders, and you created a more efficient company. The reality is, you can even be a leader. Can you imagine you being a leader and you also operate in this gift? You could be a CEO of your company or, you know, whatever it may be, and then God also laid this gift on you, and then you could, because you already have the ability to make these kind of decisions, and you could overhaul processes in your work and your company and all kinds of things. I mean, what that'd be a really, really cool thing to see happen, and God would be so blessed when we're operating in these gifts. And I mean, really, I want you to know, and I always have this picture, and I'll tell the picture in a moment, but when we're operating in the gifts that God has given to us, particularly in the body, and particularly, you know, at home, in the marketplace, God is so, so pleased. You know what I mean? I mean, he's so happy. It's like when I, because, you know, my son is here. He's a little sick, so he had to sit with me today, and so my son Andrew, I bought him a new toy, over Christmas, and he loves playing with this toy, and every time he plays with the toy, I'm so happy because I bought it for him. You know what I mean? It's the one I picked, not the one my wife picked, right? He don't play with that one. He plays with the one I picked, right? She can't hear me, so it's okay. And so, it brings me great joy to hear him play, you know, remember Andrew, the gujitsu, right? He loves that thing. And so he can play with that, and it makes me so happy. And I always get this picture when I think about this, and I don't know if you guys ever seen that movie, Chariots of Fire. A great movie, right? Eric Liddell, 1924 Olympics in Paris. He has a firm conviction that he should not run on the Sabbath. So he gives up his running slot because the finals are on the Sabbath. And so he gives it up, and everyone in England, and they hate him, and they're cursing him, all the papers. And then one of his friends actually says, well, I already won my gold medal. Why don't you run my race? A race he's never, Eric has never run before, and he ends up winning the gold medal. And so, and there's this scene, there's this great scene in the movie where he's talking to his sister, and they're debating, because they were born in China, and they want to go, and they're missionaries to China, and Liddell actually died in China as a missionary. And so while they're having this talk, and they're in the Scottish Highlands, and, you know, it looks like Braveheart, you know, really beautiful kind of stuff, you know, it's always cloudy and misty. And the hills and the ocean. And so, and they're having this talk, and her name is Jenny, and Jenny's kind of urging him, let's go back to China, you know, give up this ridiculous running thing, the Olympics, you know, forget all that stuff. Let's go do what we're called to do. Let's go and be missionaries to China. And Eric Liddell, you know, just turns to his wife and he says, you know, Jenny, right, God made me for China, but he also made me fast. And he said, when I run, I feel his pleasure. If Aaron is here, Aaron Penn, sorry, I just butchered your language, right? But it was so, he says, yeah, God made me for China, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. And if you know the Eric Liddell, he was known as the Flying Scotsman. And the way he would run, he actually had the worst running style ever. You could actually Google YouTube videos of him running, I think. And he used to run with his head up like this, and just like a madman. And it's crazy. And a lot of it is because he would look up to the heavens, and Father would smile down upon him. And because he was using his gift, and it so pleased the Father, God made him fast. And he says, and so when he runs, he feels his pleasure. Brothers and sisters, when you're using your gifts, right? And listen, I know gifts can be abused. I know that, but don't let those fears keep you away from using the gift, because then the devil just won. You know what I mean? And so the devil's the one who's instigating all this stuff. And then if you don't use your gift because you're afraid that you may be proud, the devil won because you're not using your gift. And so use our gifts. Of course, be humble and all those things. Use your gift. And when you use all these different gifts that God has given to you, it gives God pleasure. It makes him so happy because he's your Father who gave these things to you. And it is such a blessing when it happens. So this is why you should want to use this gift and these gifts in our lives. Amen? All right, when the worship team come. We're going to pray. We're going to lay hands on people. People say, "Peace, Sam, why do you guys keep laying hands on people?" That's what the Bible says. It's really simple. We just want to be biblical. And Paul tells his spiritual son that his mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice, they laid hands on him and they were stirring the gift. And Paul wanted to stir that gift in him that was given to them by the laying on of hands. And we believe in something called impartation. We believe that God has given some of us something of the gift of God, and when we lay hands, we can actually impart that. It's a spiritual gift. It's a blessing. And so we want to do that. And so we're going to sing a little bit first, and then I want people that you just even think, you may not even sure, but you may think, you know, I might have that gift of governments, and we want to use you because you're the one that's going to be laying hands on people. We're just going to stir the spiritual gift that's probably within you. And I would say that if you have a desire for it, it's probably because God put that inside of you. And so it may be dormant, but it's ready to be released. Okay, so Kaylin, why don't you lead us a little bit in some worship. Let's stir up our spirit for a bit.
Okay, so all you people with the gift of governments, can I invite you to come up here to the front? There should be a lot of you. Again, get in one long line and let's face the audience. What a blessing. Okay, let's make your way. No one wants to go in the middle. You guys that are, Trish, come on, get over here, man. Okay, first of all, can we celebrate the gift? Can we say praise God for our body? I mean, what an amazing, amazing privilege and joy we get. Okay, so we're going to continue to worship. But if you want to receive prayer, and this is as easy as you want the gift, you want an impartation, but I'll make it even easier that you just simply want to be better organized, okay? Like, you need some more organization in your life. I want you to come and just receive something of the Lord from them, all right? So you guys come, just stand in front of one of them. Let's scoot down. There's still middle ground here. And just receive from the Lord, huh? Let your glory.
As they continue to pray, why don't we stand to our feet and let's sing this together. Amen. Let's pray together. Every person a minister, every minister a servant. God, we thank you for this house, God. We thank you for so many incredibly gifted people, Lord. God, you have embraced this congregation with so many gifts, so many abilities, so many skills, God. And it's to build up your house, Lord. It's also, God, to build up our companies, Lord. It's to build up our homes and our families, God. And so would you use this bountiful giftedness, God, that you bring? And would you multiply it, God? Would you increase it? Help us to steward this in our lives, God. Lord, that it would be an incredible blessing, God, to the body and also to the world around us, Lord. And we thank you. Today, we thank you for the gift of governments, God. We thank you for these people that are able to come into our lives, our church, God, our families and our businesses, and bring order, God, to steer the ship, Lord, that brings us to the destination that you have ordained for us to go as a family, as a company, as a church. And so we honor this gift today, God, and we're so grateful that you do this for certain members of the body of Christ, Lord. And Lord, and every one of us, God, you've given us many things, Lord. Help us to be good stewards of what you've given to us, God. God, we thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.